T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Chris Herney joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
It's In the Still of the Night, one of the great doo-wop records by the Five Satins. The guy who wrote this and the singer, Fred Parris, died yesterday at age 85. He was 19 years old when he wrote this song about his fiance while he was in the Army, recorded in the basement of an elementary school.
Wow. All right. So have you ever had a coach snap at you, Chris?
Not as memorably.
Not as extravagantly.
Lionel Hollins and I butted heads a couple times, yeah. But not like in a public on-camera dropping expletive kind of thing.
You know, with Lionel, you knew that was coming. It was just part of the deal with Lionel.
Yeah.
He was ornery.
Right. No. And so I definitely butted heads with Lionel a few times over the years. I don't remember any other Grizzlies coach taking particular offense to anything. But Lionel definitely did on occasion.
Yeah, Jaeger never did. Taylor certainly hasn't. I mean, he'll get short occasionally.
Right.
Fratello?
Fratello did with people. I had a great relationship with Fratello, actually. I ran counter to most people with Fratello. We got along fine.
Really?
He's one of two Grizzlies people ever who's written me a handwritten thank you note.
After he was whacked or something? Or
so, no, I did a after he took over mid-season. You know, the thing was going bad with UB, and then he took over midseason, and then Powell got hurt, and he changed the style of play completely and got them back on track. And my midseason cover story was about, like, how Fratello got this thing back on track, and I think he appreciated that I sort of saw, from a coaching standpoint, what he had done and how it had worked. And
who do you feel like you had had the most constructive relationship with among the head coaches?
It's interesting, because in some ways, I mean, partly because he was there so long, and in such a prominent way, I've butted heads the most with Lionel. I think I've had the most substantial conversations also with Lionel. And so the Lionel's sort of the answer on both of these. Huh. When he was back at the for Zach's thing, like I'd waved to him from a distance and I was going to leave him alone, and he like beckoned me over and was like very warm, and we had a conversation. Right. And I remember back when it looked like he was about to get let go, that they weren't going to bring him back. Like he grabbed me after practice one day after everyone had left. We sat in the practice room or on the practice court. And he was like, "What's going on with these guys? You probably talked to them more than me.
Right?
What do you think Levy's going
to
do? That kind of stuff."
Lionel. You know? I mean,
no, totally.
You know, I have
total respect for
total
Lionel.
Respect for Lionel, and also like. I don't mean to like psychoanalyze him. I think he is the way he is because he had to, like, coming from where he came from, like, it was only force of will. You know, I think so. I have immense respect for him. I was quote unquote closest to Jaeger, and Hubie and I had the warmest relationship, honestly. Like, I loved covering Hubie, and Hubie was. Appreciative of the coverage.
Yeah, I had a particularly good relationship, which got awkward because it became clear to me could coach if I have a Roni. And this was, I mean, this was when I was at the Flyer, and frankly, right. Like I was the guy from the Alt Weekly who was a music critic. They didn't like Jerry West would call you, Heise would call you. I don't think they knew who I was. Right. They didn't know I existed. I don't know if Hubie really knew who I was. Brendan Brown read my stuff. He knew who I was. Like Tony Brody Jr., the like junior staffer people.
Hubie came from an ethic where you read the paper.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So the junior staffer people like knew me. And like the Jerry West, Hubie Brown types, like I'm a nobody. I'm not the columnist or the beat writer or whatever. They didn't care. Ivoroni, like the day after he got fired, he personally called me to talk to me about what happened and like, you know, all of that. And so, which I appreciated because I was like a nobody.
He tried. Like, I had breakfast with him at Brother Juniper once, you know, whatever. Like, and he just was in over his head as a head coach. as I said off the air, I said the only other person who asked me to stop asking stupid effing questions is you.
Not entirely
but,
true.
But more gently, yes. No, the here's the truth. A lot of coaches get asked stupid effing questions all the time. Isn't that your – I mean
I think asking – and I've said this before, and I'm too self-conscious about it. Asking good questions in those settings I think is enormously difficult. It reminded me – your question, which is not a bad question at all, but it reminded me of a question I asked Jaren Jackson two nights ago on a Zoom where he – you know, he had missed his – he had a terrible first half. He'd missed his first 4 3-point shots, and he hit the two late, right? So I asked some question about, you know, when you struggle at the beginning of the game, is it hard to maintain the confidence and still take those shots late?
Right.
Like, when I watch the game, I think the honest answer is yes, because you can see he's missed four in a row with him passing up open shots that if he was in a good groove, he would have taken immediately. You can see the hesitation. To me, it's transparent on the screen. But what am I really expecting? As soon as the question got out of my mouth, I'm thinking, why did I ask this? I don't know. And then, of course, he said, oh, of course not. You can't. That's not how the game works and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know what the point of the interaction was, but I don't think it was a bad question. I think it was an obvious question.
Well, one of the things that's very clear with you is that you ask questions because you want to know the answer.
Well, that's the thing.
Right?
And this is not a criticism.
Yes.
Well, your question, and again, this is not a criticism, but you're right. It's different genres of questions. That was a question not to, like, find out the answer to the question. That was a question to elicit a response.
Well, and it wasn't to elicit a hostile response. It was
you weren't predetermining what the response would be.
It was such a grim – the circumstances writ large are so grim now, and it was such a grim first half and a really – it was embarrassing that I did kind of – Penny, do you ever worry, you know, lose faith that you can get this turned around?
Well, it's an obvious thing, but...
But I also didn't expect... Partly you ask questions not to get a quote-unquote response, but to get words that you can put in your column.
Yes, that's
You ask questions. You often usually
this
ask
is
questions
true.
To get an answer.
Well, I don't... I prefer to write without quotes because quotes get in the way of trying to write sometimes.
Right.
And so I do not ask questions for the purpose of generating a quote.
Right.
I'm not looking to generate quotes.
That's what I'm saying. You ask questions because you want to know the answer to something. Why did you do this or what were you thinking when you did this and whatever? Whereas most questions that are asked at a press conference are for the purpose of getting an answer TV that you can use on your broadcast. And it doesn't really even matter. They don't really want to know what they were thinking. They just need something.
They need the sound. They need the quote.
And I'm sort of in between. Sometimes I ask questions because I really want why did you not go back with so and so? And sometimes I need words to put in my column, and so I'll get some response to you. It's pretty clear that he just lost his composure. Like, isn't that what your sense of – I don't know if you've seen it or whatever.
I saw clips on Twitter, and then I read your column, so I saw the transcription of that part of it there. Yeah, clearly he lost his – I mean, it's not the first person ever to lose your composure.
I've lost it live on radio,
And so yes, that's clearly what happened. It is understandable that it happened. I mean, maybe from his perspective or from, the perspective of the program, you'd wish you held it in check more. Maybe that would have been preferable. But it's not like, it's not surprising that given the circumstances – because that's the thing. And it's like this happens all the time in sports where, like, the press conference theater sort of becomes the thing itself, becomes the story and not the underlying thing. But it's sort of indicative of the whole thing in that would happen because the whole thing has been more frosting than cake. That's the problem.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, I mean, you've said that all along, and it's absolutely true. The whole thing has been more frosting than cake.
Yeah.
And we have often this season spent much more time talking about the press conference afterwards than what happened on the court.
Yeah.
I don't know how it ends. I don't know, if they can pull out of this or whatever else, but it's certainly not going well now. Memphis Grizzlies back in action. They got Denver. Do we have any sense of health?
The Grizzlies report is the same as it was before the other game. So unless something changes during the day today, it'll be the same guys out. So it'll be Tyus Jones, Desmond Bane, Kyle Anderson, and Killian Tilly all in health and safety protocols, and it will be Dylan Brooks still out for his ankle injury. And then, Denver, I don't know all the specifics on Denver, but Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray are out, and that's what matters.
it's just going to be tough for the Grizzlies to win with a missing. I mean, what it's the same.
I think issue. On the road against good teams with a gaping hole in your playmaking whenever John Morant's not in the game, I think is a recipe for you. You should. I mean, these are NBA basketball games, so things are going to happen you don't expect to happen. So, you know, they might pull one of these out, but I don't look at the gambling stuff, but I assume they're the underdogs, and they should be the underdogs tonight and again on Sunday in Dallas.
Will they be, if they are this shorthanded, will they be underdogs at San Antonio?
That may be more of a toss-up. Maybe. I mean, I'd say probably not. Maybe they're favored slightly in that one because the Spurs, I mean, that is a different, you're dropping down another level in terms of your opponent. But I think they've got, to me, they operate at, you know, for 10 minutes a game, 10 to 15 minutes a night, as long as until they get one of these guys back, they're really fighting uphill.
All right. Anything else interest you in the NBA? I really was occupied last night.
You know, it's been a wide open year, and I think it just keeps getting more wide open. As the year goes on, instead of narrowing, it's getting more wide open. And I think there are teams we haven't really been talking about that you start to look closer, like, wait a minute, like, is Miami the best team in the East? Wait a minute, wait, was Philadelphia the best?
Philadelphia's on a hell of a run now, right? Like, and beat two nights ago.
You imagine doing
nuts.
Any kind of Ben Simmons trade to add just things right on top of what they've done all season? I think you're looking at like four or five teams that might come out of the East.
Well, that's the question. Is what people often say is you don't want to waste a year of Joel Embiid. I think part of the question is you don't want to waste this year.
This year. This may be as good of a chance as ever.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the West is already sort of like that. I did the podcast yesterday with Hollinger. People can check out if they haven't already. You know, and we talked a little bit about that in terms of just how open it sort of is. Like, there's no clear-cut team really in either conference. As good as Phoenix has been, I don't know if they're quite there yet.
What did Hollinger say about the Grizzlies? And again, people can listen to the podcast. How do they get to the podcast? Wherever they get to podcasts.
Well, if you go to the Daily Miffian site, you can find it. But most people listen to podcasts on their phone, and they subscribe on their whatever their podcast app is on their phone. So you can subscribe to it there. Wherever
Daily
you get your
Miffian,
podcast, you can find it.
Okay. And what did he say about the Grizzlies as they head into the trade?
I mean, his thing is basically, I mean, he's not outside. He's sort of where most people are. You know, if a Jalen Brown or someone like that's available, he does think Jalen Brown, if that player were available, and that player is almost certainly not, that's a push your chips in moment for the Grizzlies. Broadly speaking, he thinks in the absence of an all-star wing, a wing that is clearly better than Bane or Brooks, that the best place for the Grizzlies to upgrade is not at the wing. It's more at the forward position. I sort of a leading question on my part, but he bit. The idea of someone who can play the four when Jaren plays the five, who's a little bit more versatile,
which looks like who?
Well, right now, I don't think they'd make a trade like this right now, but if they did, the guys on the market who look like this are Harrison Barnes or Jeremy Grant, basically like Kyle Anderson who can shoot. I mean, that's the kind of player we're talking about, really.
Is Jeremy Grant, like, everyone talks about Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, I would not.
And is the price, like, I just, you know, we talked about this with Bobby Marks, and he was.
I wouldn't do the Bobby Marks deal that he's put out there. No, I think that's too high of a price.
One of the interesting things that Hollinger said over at The Athletic about the possibility of a Simmons trade was that one reason you don't do it now is, and is he looked back at the Conley trade. Like, everyone thought at the trade deadline Mike Conley was going to be dealt, and he was not dealt. And you're like, what the hell are you doing? Why didn't you deal him? Now, the Grizzlies didn't have the urgency that they were trying to win anything that year like Philadelphia does.
Right. That was a draft pick-based trade.
But what he said was, it helps to know the actual draft picks.
Yes.
And that is a reason not to make a trade at the trade deadline.
If you're making a draft pick-based trade, Philadelphia needs to be looking at not making a draft pick-based trade because they want to try to win a title this year. Yeah. We also did talk about, we actually opened the pod with Tiger Basketball Talk. So,
really?
Yeah. Because we were both.
Jalen Dern and Imani Bates talk?
We talked about a little bit of draft stuff, and we also talked about the fact that John and I were both in the building at the Battle of Bridgestone. We did not see each other or a basketball game.
All right, thank you, Chris.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.